How do you do? A humorous sign on a counselor's wall reads, "The truth will make you free, but first, it will make you miserable." And no one knows better than the woman in this story. She sought the truth, embraced it, and then ran from the painful consequences, only to discover that you can't run away when your heart and mind and life are unshackled. Proclaiming the good news with true life stories of real people. This is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Street people who come to Pacific Garden Mission can hardly believe their good fortune. How clean and homey the dormitories are, how tasty the meals, how welcome they feel. And there's even a medical and dental clinic for those who are hurting, and everything is free. The homeless also receive clothing, classes, and counseling. They can hardly believe their good fortune when they hear the good news. There is a way to overcome the past and assure the future. That way leads to new life, like the woman in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2475 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Eric, I'm sorry to wake you, but I can't believe what's happened.
Dina, what is it?
My pants, they're disowning me.
I thought things were getting better.
I thought so too. Mom and I even played cards tonight while Dad was dozing beside us.
It'll be okay, honey. Now, just tell me what happened.
Each one of them wrote me a letter. They accused me of lying, of being anti-Semitic. They said rejecting my heritage was the same as rejecting them. They said I was no longer acting like a member of the family, that I disowned them.
Oh, Dina, I'm so sorry. Did it all just happen tonight?
Yes. I'm in a payphone down the street. I just had to get away. And how can I go back? How can I ever face them again after the terrible things they wrote?
Look, maybe they're just trying to scare you, Dina, to force you to make a different choice.
My father told me I should take my belongings with me when I leave.
Oh, Dina.
Eric, I want to die.
The woman in this story grew up in a good home with a family that nurtured and loved her. Yet, at the age of 21, she effectively became an orphan when her family rejected her. How could this happen to educated people in an enlightened age? This is the true story of a woman we'll call Dina, and how she reached that point and how she survived, right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, and lived in the same house all my life. Our home was happy and loving. My father is a doctor, and both my parents encouraged me to excel. So I was involved in many after-school activities like tennis, ice skating, ballet, science camp. Early on, I displayed a love for and ability in music, and now I'm a professional musician. Both parents were on the school board, but besides all the achievement, our family had fun.
Okay, Dina, okay. It's your turn to deal.
We should be getting back home. You have to get up early for school in the morning.
I'll get up, I promise.
All right. One more hand. Gampa, will you play my hand while I help Mom and Nana clean up in the kitchen?
No, that's not fair. Come on.
Oh, way to go, Dina. You're not very gifted in cards, are you?
Don't tease your sister, Daniel.
Dad, were you teased a lot when you were in school?
Sure, that happens to every kid sooner or later. It builds character. Why?
Well, I'm the only Jewish kid in my class. I get teased a lot.
You should be proud, Dina. We have a wonderful heritage.
But it's hard being different from everybody.
That'll build a strong character. Always stand for what you think is right, honey.
Come on, you guys, quit talking and play cards.
My brother and I were best friends. As Reformed Jews, we went to temple and Hebrew school faithfully, but sometimes we didn't stay. Dad would drop us off on Sunday morning and we would walk in one door and out the other. It's too nice a day to sit in Sunday school.
Why do they even bother sending us? They don't go.
I know. I don't understand it. Mom claims to be an atheist and Dad won't even talk about God.
Do you believe in God, Dina?
I don't know. I mean, you look at the sky and wonder, does it end? And if it ever does end, who stops it?
Maybe it goes on forever and ever. So God would have to be really big.
If there is a God, he's Jewish.
Yeah, Dad said so.
Don't tell Mom and Dad, but sometimes at school I wear earrings with a cross.
Why?
I get tired of being singled out, you know? A cross doesn't mean anything anyway, it's just a symbol. My family taught me strong moral values, and I was bas mitzvahed at 13 and confirmed in 10th grade. By then, I was active in a Jewish youth group, and I was proud of what I knew about my heritage. I had very few conflicts with my parents while growing up, because I never told them anything that I knew would make them angry.
Did you know that Dina has been inducted into the National Honor Society?
Oh, good for you, honey. That'll help you get into the college you want.
Oh, everything helps. Vice president of the senior class, vice president of the band, editor-in-chief of the school newspaper. What else?
Chief bottleneck on the phone.
Oh. I'd like to attend Northwestern University. They have an outstanding music department.
Good. Maybe you'll meet a nice Jewish doctor or lawyer there.
I have a lot of business meetings in Chicago, so I can see you when I'm in town.
And the only problem is leaving all my friends here in Tacoma.
You'll make new ones.
Could I be excused? I'm going out with friends.
What time will you be home?
I won't. I'm spending the night at Stephanie's. Sometimes I spent the night at my friend's home so I could sneak out early and go to church with my boyfriend. I was curious about Christianity, and I remembered being moved to tears by the music and message, the presence I felt. When I got to college, though, I concentrated on studies because I didn't want to disappoint my parents. But I felt restless and lonely, and spent time with students in the dorm who seemed to have the assurance and peace that I lacked.
Do you like contemporary Christian music, Dina?
Yes, I do. I play classical music, so it's very different from the kind of music I play.
Music is an important part of worshiping the Lord.
And my boyfriend and I used to visit a church in Tacoma. We were the only white people in the congregation, but the music and the preaching sometimes just brought tears to my eyes.
Are you a believer?
Oh, no. I'm Jewish. We were just curious, that's all.
Well, you're welcome to go to church with us sometime.
Christianity's too confusing to me. Besides, you believe Jesus was the Messiah, and I was taught otherwise.
Read the book of Isaiah sometime. It has incredible prophecies of Christ, how he would be born of a virgin, suffer and die for our sins, things like that. The odds of any one person fulfilling all those prophecies are astronomical.
Oh?
Well, sure, like chapter 49, verse 6, where God says, "It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth."
Amazed at how little I really knew about the Old Testament, I began to read it for myself. I went to an Easter service with some other friends, but didn't really understand it, so I didn't go back. Then I was invited to another church, where the music and the preaching ministered to me, and I went back again and again. The more I studied the Old Testament prophecies, the more convinced I became.
It's true, Dina. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the Messiah, including ones that his own people would reject him.
This one in Micah about how he will come out of Bethlehem.
"But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah,
though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That can only describe God himself. And Isaiah chapter 53, it's overwhelming that he was despised and rejected, taken from prison and judgment, numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many.
Seems obvious, doesn't it?
Yes. I know in my heart that Jesus is the Messiah. But I don't know how I can ever tell my family.
God will help you when the time comes, Dina. Have you prayed, asking Christ into your heart?
Many times in church when they pray, I do. I'm never sure I've done it correctly.
There's no correct way. God looks on the heart. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you have asked God's forgiveness, then you're saved.
How will I ever tell my family? I waited months to call my parents, picking up the phone hundreds of times, then putting it down again because I didn't know what to say or how to say it. Finally, I decided to talk with them separately so I wouldn't feel so threatened.
Hello?
Dad! Oh, I'm really glad you answered the phone. I need to talk to you.
Oh, what is it, Dina?
I've been so afraid to call. Afraid you'd disown me or something.
Honey, what are you talking about? No. Calm down and tell me what's wrong.
Dad, I think the scriptures clearly point to Jesus as the Messiah, and I don't understand how the rabbis and the other Jews can't see that.
Dina, what have you been reading to cause this sudden interest in religion?
Prophecies in the Hebrew Bible, but I've gone to a Christian church, too.
Well, I'm a little shocked that you went somewhere else instead of coming to us if you had doubts.
I don't mean to hurt you, Dad, but you never wanted to talk about God, and I had so many questions.
Whatever you're looking for, you can find in Judaism. I don't think you've given us a chance.
What I found is so wonderful, Dad. A peace inside me like I've never known.
We'll talk about it when you get home. Finals are coming up, and you should concentrate on them.
Dad, could we keep this between the two of us for now, please? Don't tell Mom just yet.
All right, honey. Don't worry, I won't disown you or anything.
Oh, thanks, Dad. I love you. I'm so relieved.
See you soon.
Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for giving my dad an understanding heart. Lord, please open his eyes and heart to your truth so that when we study the Bible together, he will see Jesus as Messiah too. When summer break came, I went home, and from the moment I walked through the door, tension was thick. Mom had learned of the change in my life, and they both felt rejected and angry.
I guess I have no right to an opinion when it comes to your religious beliefs.
Oh, that isn't true, Mom.
Well, that's how it looks to me. Don't you realize what you're doing? You're siding with a group that has persecuted your people for centuries. What do you think the Inquisition and the Holocaust were all about?
That couldn't have come from God. He speaks to me with a love I've never known before.
If you think God is a fuzzy father figure and he's speaking to you, then you need to see a psychiatrist.
Mom, the Bible says God speaks to our hearts.
There's a lot you apparently don't know about Christianity and anti-Semitism.
I'll say, you've made some very anti-Semitic comments.
I am a Jew. That hasn't changed. I agree with you that there's a lot I need to learn, but I know that Jesus is the Messiah we've been looking for all these years.
Don't you think our rabbis know the prophecies? They study the scriptures. There's a reason they don't believe what you do.
They're blind to the truth because they're not seeking God with their whole heart.
I think we should go and see some rabbis.
Yes, maybe they can talk some sense into you. You're a disgrace to the family.
In a moment, we'll learn the outcome of this family crisis. Do you know a young person who may be tempted to follow the crowd? We have a comic book that reveals just how dangerous that choice can be. It's the Donna Disser story, just as it was broadcast on Unshackled, but illustrated by Florida artist Bill Waters. These beautiful drawings tell Donna's heartbreaking descent into depression through the pathway of alcohol and drugs. People of all ages enjoy these comic books that we offer you without any charge whatsoever. Just write and ask for a copy. You'll find yourself turning the pages all the way through to the uplifting end, which tells the intriguing way in which Donna's life was changed forever. After you've read her story for yourself, you'll want to give this comic book to someone else, maybe even a stranger who needs encouragement. Donna's story concludes with a simple prayer of salvation that anyone can understand. So write today asking for your free copy of the Donna Disser comic book. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
We haven't told your grandparents, Dina, because we're hoping you'll come to your senses.
I don't want to hurt anyone in the family, Dad, but I can't deny what I believe in my heart.
You've just been influenced by your friends at school. We never should have let you go there.
I thought long and hard about this, Dad.
You don't have any scientific proof, do you? It's all emotions. The rabbi in this temple is very well known. Is the rabbi here? Maybe he can talk some sense into my daughter. She thinks Jesus is the Messiah. Can you believe it?
Dad!
Christianity is a religion of hate. I can't believe you want to be one of them.
That summer of emotional abuse weakened my faith in God, especially since I had no Christian friends at home, no church to support me in my struggle. The public scorn, the constant pressure, affected my relationship with God. I had read in the Bible how Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But when it happens to you, it feels incredibly wrong.
How can you let this happen, God? I trusted you. I thought you would protect me. If Christianity is really right, it shouldn't be this hard. Maybe I am going crazy. Maybe it's all in my head.
I still think if you had been more committed to following the Jewish beliefs, this wouldn't have happened.
It has nothing to do with that at all. It's the fact that she's so susceptible to peer pressure. There's bagels if you're hungry, Dina.
I'm not.
I have a book here you should read, Dina. It's about anti-Semitism in the church.
I'm tired of arguing, Dan.
Then give up this foolishness and come back to Judaism where you belong.
Maybe you're right. When I go back to school next week, I'll tell my friends that I'm going to practice my Judaism again. Back at college, I avoided my Christian friends and slipped back into the party life, dating, drinking, doing the things that I knew were against the teachings of Christ. I wanted to get back at God for all the hurt he'd caused me. Food became my source of comfort, but food can't fill the void left by God. I became anxious and depressed, lonely, insecure. 4 long months I tried to live without Christ, but the long arms of the living God would not let me go.
Hi, Dina. I haven't seen much of you this year. How's it going?
I've been wandering in the wilderness, but I've come home.
Oh, that's good news. What happened?
I had to learn the hard way that I can't live without Christ. I tried to deny him, but never again. Well,
Peter, one of Christ's closest disciples, denied him, too, so don't feel guilty. Now you know for sure.
Yes. No one and nothing can take the place of the Lord. I'll never again deny him, no matter how much criticism I get.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
What I went through with my family was painful, but it was even worse trying to live without him.
Would you like a ride to church on Sunday?
Would I ever? The joy in my heart was overwhelming, and my faith grew steadily as I read the Bible. But I didn't want any more confrontations with my family, so I avoided the issue of my faith. Even though I was home to visit several times before my graduation in 1994, my whole family, including my grandparents, flew to Chicago for my senior recital and orchestra concert. And at first, everything was normal. And then came the cold front.
Dina, over here!
Oh, I'm so glad to see you, Eric.
Oh, it was great. You were outstanding.
Oh, I'm glad it's over.
Hey, I saw your parents, but I didn't see your grandparents.
They didn't come. They sat in the car instead of coming to the concert.
They sat in the car? Why?
Last night, my parents told them I'm a Christian. They hardly spoke to me all day. Once I tried to break the silence by asking my grandmother a question, and all she said was, "I don't know. I don't do things the way you do things."
Well, I wondered why everything was so tense at dinner tonight.
You have no idea how much it hurts, Eric. I love my grandparents. The next day, when my grandparents left town, they didn't even get out of the car to say goodbye. The only thing my grandmother said was, "It would have been better if you'd been hit by a car and died, because then you wouldn't be a living dead."
Although I was hurting inside, I made plans to start graduate school and went home before going to music camp that summer. The night before I left, each of my parents handed me a letter telling me to choose between them or Christ. In shock and wearing only my nightgown and socks, I walked down the street to a payphone and called my boyfriend.
What are you going to do, Dina?
I don't have a choice, Eric. Tomorrow I leave for 2 weeks of music camp. When I come back, I have 3 to 4 days to pack what I can carry on the plane.
You'll be on your own from now on?
Completely. They're going to relinquish all financial responsibilities of me and in every other way. They don't want me contacting them at all. I even have to buy back the car they gave me.
I'll help you any way I can, Dina, and God will never leave you or forsake you. Remember that.
I know. It's the only comfort I have right now.
Didn't you just get a big scholarship for graduate school?
Yeah. I think God has been preparing me for this.
Maybe your family will change their minds.
I don't think so. My father plans to say Kaddish.
What's that?
A prayer of mourning for someone who has died.
I guess you've made up your mind, Dina?
I don't have a choice, Dad.
Do you have a ride to the airport?
Stephanie's coming to get me. I shipped what I could.
Your grandparents are flying in today for the memorial service.
I'd like to say goodbye to Mother.
She's still in bed.
Mother, I just wanted to say goodbye. I love you, Mother. No matter what happens.
Shalom.
I was so busy at first, getting loans for school and finding a way to support myself, that the impact of it all didn't set in for 5 or 6 months. Then I grieved so deeply for my lost family. 9 months went by. The day I received my master's degree, I bumped into my father in the crowd, and we hugged each other and cried. He was in Chicago for a meeting, so we had lunch together. It was quite awkward.
I have some books and articles I wish you'd read.
Dad, there's no point in getting into that.
Christianity is a religion about Jesus. It's not the religion of Jesus. He was a Jew.
Have you ever read what he said? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the truth, the living word.
Ah, you're trying to convert me again.
Well, that's only fair. You're trying to convert me.
Where did we go wrong, Dina? We tried so hard to give you everything you needed, and you turned against us.
I haven't turned against you. I just turned to God. I'm still your daughter. I'm still Jewish. I love you and Mom. All of my family.
Your grandmother still cries about you. You've hurt her very badly.
I miss all of you. You are the best family I could hope for. You did give me everything I needed, except God. Every person must make his own choice concerning God. He made the ultimate sacrifice of giving his life for me. How can I reject him?
Dina.
Have you ever really read the Bible, Dad? All the Old Testament heroes, Abraham, Moses, David, they wanted to please God, not the world. Jesus quoted a scripture from Isaiah that's recorded in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, that says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I have to obey him, Dad.
You're just being closed-minded.
You taught me to stand for what I believe. I can't move when I know I'm right. God has shifted my dependence from money, people, and accomplishments to him alone. I've learned that the greatest love on earth is God's unconditional love for his children. He has blessed every leap of faith I had to make. But I'm still struggling with the pain I receive from my own people. One of the pastors at my church, a Messianic Jew, has helped me with this.
Dina, you want to be like all the other Gentiles in the church, and you can't. I can't either. We're Jews for whom the Messiah has come. The Passover and Seder, Rosh Hashanah, are part of our life. They take on even more significance when you know Christ as Savior.
I want to honor him with my life.
You do every time you obey him. You can participate in every Jewish festival and holy day there is. Jesus did. He was always there, mixing with the people. loving, healing, forgiving.
I'll be honest with you. Because of all the emotional trauma and hurt I went through with my family, I tense up whenever I'm around anything Jewish. I expect another blow.
Everyone who chooses to follow Christ can expect trials and persecution. Jesus was despised and rejected, nailed to a cross, not by the Jews, by our sins. But knowing who would be blamed, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
They also don't know what they're missing. To know the living God, to walk with him, talk with him, nothing in this world compares.
You wonder how they can be so blind until you remember how blind you were.
That's true.
Do you communicate with your family?
They told me if I wrote, the letter would go directly into the trash. I write a letter once or twice a year anyway. I want them to know I love them.
I think you're doing the right thing, Dina. All you can do is pray for your family and for our people, and love them when the opportunity comes.
I work for a large church, assisting in membership and contribution. I also serve in women's ministries, evangelism, and Jewish outreach. I'm a music instructor for a private university and perform as a freelance musician. I love to use my gifts in music for the glory of the Lord. I have a wonderful friend with a burden for Jewish people who helps and encourages me to know my heritage. Pray for the restoration of my family.
Another Jew named Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, why are you waiting? If you need help in this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This is program number 2475. Heard in the true story of a woman called Dina were Jill Schellebarger, Tony Marcus, Mary Jo Ferracci, James Snyder, and Tom Geitch. Original music, Ralph Coburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Have you been listening for years but never told us? We'd love to know you're a friend, so please write today the address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You don't have to go through heartache alone. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.